Loving Lord, we pray that you'll speak to us afresh as we reflect on your word together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was due to preach this sermon a couple of weeks ago, but unfortunately we had a bit of a family crisis that weekend, which meant I couldn't. So my apologies, but I'm very grateful to Becky, who stepped in at the last minute and managed to preach an amazing sermon with very short notice, which I was very impressed with. Her teacher training background, I think, really came in handy there. So thank you, Becky. I found myself preparing this to preach this sermon both originally and then as I've preached a bit this week, at a time when actually I personally have been struggling a lot with anxiety and fear, and I ended up preaching on this theme of casting out fear. And then of course this week, as I've kind of looked at it afresh and kind of tweaked it a bit, I've been watching the news, as I guess you have, the unfolding events in the Ukraine with fear, with dismay at this war that is taking place in Europe. So as Becky said at the beginning of our service today, fear is very much something that is probably part of our emotions at the moment. We're all familiar with fear, aren't we? At least I assume we are, or is it just me? It's something that is part of our human condition, isn't it? And whatever our fear may be, whether it's spiders or snakes or flying or things like illness or death, loss of a loved one, fear of rejection, loneliness or abandonment, fear of judgment, criticism, failure, poverty, all sorts of things we may fear. Fear of long sermons, maybe. I hope you haven't got that one, because I'm preaching this morning. I don't know about you, but I can't begin to imagine the level of fear that is being felt at the moment by the people of Ukraine. Facing the invasion of their country, facing the disruption of their lives, all the sufferings that they may have to endure in a war that they don't want and in a war that they have no control over. It's important, isn't it, that we earnestly pray for them and pray for the leaders of our world at this time. That they may have wisdom, that people would work for peace and diplomacy and justice. But of course, fear, like pain, plays an important function in our lives. It warns us when something is wrong. It warns us of some potential threat or danger. And it can trigger in us that freeze, flight, fight response. Fear is a natural part of being human, so it's always going to be something that we experience. You're probably familiar with that very well-known quote of Nelson Mandela, who says this: courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave person is not the one who does not feel afraid, but the one who conquers that fear. And so I guess the issue for us is how we deal with our fear. And how we might be able to bring our fear and anxiety to God. And how we learn to trust God to give us the strength and the courage and the peace that we need as we face our fears. So let's just reflect for a few moments on the two gospel passages that were read to us this morning. I'm going to take John 18 first. Why did Simon Peter deny Jesus? Well, we assume it was out of fear for what was happening to Jesus, and that the same might happen to him. Arrest, mocking, flogging, crucifixion. I'd say that was a pretty rational fear for Peter to have. A very understandable fear for him to have. And that fear instinctively led him to protect himself, to distance himself, by denying knowing Jesus. But of course that fear, because it took grip of him, also paralysed him from being able to stand by Jesus in his hour of need. Fortunately, we don't usually find ourselves in quite such extreme circumstances as Peter did that day. But if we allow fear to control us rather than love, we too can all too easily end up effectively denying Jesus. Denying Jesus by not living out of love. By not standing up for other people when they need us to. By not standing with other people when they need us to. By not speaking out and challenging things like the things we've been thinking about with the pastoral principles, prejudice and ignorance and hypocrisy and abuse of power. We too can very easily deny Jesus by not living from that place of trust and peace and love with God. And I think if we're honest, we would probably recognise that actually all those things, prejudice, ignorance, hypocrisy, abuse of power, can be part of us, can't it? It's not just other people that do these things. They are part of our human fallenness and brokenness. And so we need to face it in ourselves and confront it in ourselves. And often the most important part of that is just being honest in the first place. But also the pastoral principles encourage us to think about how fear and the things that flow out of fear can impact the quality of our relationships and the quality of our community as a church, and of course beyond that as a society. We're challenged to think about how we might deny Jesus by not living out of love and instead living out of fear. So we've seen how Peter was gripped by fear and so denied Jesus three times. But I wonder, how did Jesus himself deal with his own fear? Well, we know that Jesus brought his fear to God the Father in prayer. So, just before Jesus' arrest and Peter's denial, Jesus, we're told, was grieved and agitated. That he threw himself on the ground and he prayed an agonized prayer. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. We also know that Jesus three times urged his disciples to stay awake and pray. Keep awake and pray, that you may not come to the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I wonder if Peter ever reflected upon this later. Whether he ever reflected that perhaps if he had managed to stay awake and pray, he might just have found the faith and the courage and the strength that he needed to be able to stand with Jesus and stand by Jesus. It reminds me of the words of that well-known hymn by Joseph Scriven. First verse goes like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What about us? How good are we at bringing our anxieties and our fears to God? Allowing God to fill our hearts with peace and love and strength. And how often do we allow fear to rule over us, robbing us of that peace, robbing us of the strength that we need to be able to do what is good and just and right? Back to Simon Peter. Given our theme today of casting out fear, it's interesting to note that when the risen Jesus forgives and restores Peter, three times again, he asks Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And three times Peter responds, you know that I love you. Fear is at the root of all that is opposite to love. Where fear leads Peter to deny Jesus, love is what restores him. Perfect love, completed love, drives out fear. So perhaps we might think that the antidote to being overcome by fear, and instead having the courage to do what is right, is for us to seek daily to live our lives out of that loving union with God, trusting God to work transformation in us and through us. So that's Peter and his denials and his restoration. The first reading, it was the other way around, wasn't it? It was the Good Samaritan, the parable that we're all familiar with. And in this parable, we also see fear at work. Firstly, we remember that the road to Jericho was notoriously unsafe. Travellers were vulnerable to be ambushed by robbers, and so everyone knew that it was unwise to travel that road alone. So this may well have meant that Jesus' hearers might not have had much sympathy for the man who had been beaten and stripped and robbed and left for dead. Surely he was foolish to travel this route alone, and therefore he brought his fate upon himself. So they may not have been having sympathy. Instead, they may have been a bit judgmental, judging the traveller for having travelled and made a mistake and brought it upon himself. I was struck by something I read recently by the theologian Martin Percy. And he said this: passion is sacrificial love, a love that the lover will commit to and die for. But compassion is not just love for something or someone, but love both with and for that person. I think that's the example of compassion that we see in Jesus. And it's the example of compassion that we see in this teaching on the Good Samaritan. Having such love for our neighbour that we join with them in their situation, that we stand by them. And what about us? Is there enough love in our hearts to meet others with compassion, to join with our neighbour in sacrificial love? Do we ever excuse ourselves from acting compassionately because we judge that someone has brought their suffering on themselves in some way? And then, of course, in the parable, Jesus speaks of a priest and a Levite, two people who knew full well that their faith required them to love their neighbour. But instead, presumably out of fear and self-preservation, they created distance between themselves and the man by crossing over and passing on the other side. As we've already said, fear is a natural part of human nature. And when there's a threat or danger, it's important that we respond to protect ourselves. But if we're living out of fear rather than out of faith and love, our fear can cause us to try and create distance between us and between people who are suffering, to kind of insulate ourselves, to perhaps justify to ourselves not acting out of compassion. And I think there's also something here about what one commentator I read called boundary-breaking solidarity. The Samaritan would in all probability have been met with suspicion, if not hostility, when he took the man to the inn. But he still goes, and he enlists others to care for the man who's been mugged. And in doing this, another aspect of Jesus' message becomes clear. We're all meant to be in this together. We are all in this together as human beings. We're not meant to be separate and independent. We're interconnected. Fear separates and drives us apart, where love brings us together. And therefore love enables boundary-breaking solidarity. There's no us and them. There's only us. So Jesus' message is for us to cast out fear, to displace excessive fear with growing in love, in a way which enables us to act like the Good Samaritan in everyday life, to live out of love rather than fear. In telling this parable, Jesus is describing what it means to be a neighbour, that is, to act with courage, compassion and generosity. And as we've observed, we can't do this in our own strength, at least not consistently. We need to draw our strength from abiding in God. Indeed, Jesus tells the parable in response to the conversation with a lawyer about how to inherit eternal life, and the question of who is our neighbour. And Jesus' answer is to quote the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. So we see that the commands to love our neighbour as ourself flows on from and flows out of us finding our wholeness as people in and through our love union with God in Christ. Loving and abiding in God has come first. And in the practice of abiding in God, that makes us whole in body, mind and spirit, which then enables us to have love and compassion for our neighbour. As John says in 1 John 4, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. There is no fear in love. But perfect, completed love casts out fear. And so, as we think about these pastoral principles, they invite us to consider the extent to which fear exists in our own church culture. The kind of fear that, if it's not addressed and acknowledged, can undermine our ability to accept and love one another. Could undermine our flourishing both as people and as a community. So perhaps a bit later on this service we'll have a chance to just reflect together, those that would like to, about what fears might exist in our church relationships, in our relationships with people in church. Perhaps fear of not being accepted because of something about us. Maybe fear of being judged rather than being met with compassion. Maybe fear of rocking the boat and upsetting people. Maybe fear of standing with people facing injustice or prejudice because we might get drawn in and get in the firing line too. I guess our challenge this morning is to reflect together on the extent to which fear controls us and the extent to which we're able to live out of love in our relationships with one another. Amen.